They send out a plea for help, and then they cut off transmission so they can't tell if there's any help on the way. That doesn't make much sense, does it?
Ensign, what's our ETA of the planet?
36 minutes to orbit, sir.
Starfleet Command considers that Graves' work on molecular cybernetics is reaching a critical stage. They consider this a priority one action.
A man is ill, Captain. Treating him is my priority one, regardless of who he is.
Does Data say why he wants to see us?
He said something about his new image. I tell you, he's been acting kind of strange lately.
How so?
Well, if I didn't know better, I'd say he was showing signs of insecurity.
Yes, but you do know better. Androids don't feel such things.
I don't know. Sometimes I think he's becoming more human than any of us realize.
Troy looks skeptical.
Come in.
Data?
Geordi? Is Counselor Troy with you?
Yes, I'm here, Data. Geordi said you wanted to see us.
Indeed. Or stated more correctly, I wanted you to see me.
They look puzzled.
Can we come in?
Please.
Now curious, they walk towards Data, who is standing in front of a mirror. He is sporting a full dark beard and moustache.
Did you damage your face, Data?
It is a beard, Geordi. A fine, full, dignified beard. One which commands respect and projects thoughtfulness and dignity. Well, opinions?
It's very different.
When I stroke the beard thusly, do I not appear more intellectual?
I'm sorry, I have to go now. Goodbye. But...
Why was she laughing?
We are receiving a transmission from Graves' world, sir. It's unfocused, not directed specifically at us.
On viewer, Mr. Worf.
If anyone can hear me, please send a doctor. Things are getting worse.
Picard frowns as the girl disappears.
Try and raise her, Mr. Crusher. Tell them we're only minutes away.
It's no good, sir. I don't believe they're receiving us.
Our records show that she and Graves are the only ones living on the planet, Captain.
Then what scared her?
Looking at his officers, Picard's frown deepens with worry. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled The Schizoid Man, voiced by Roland Behan. The Federation starship Enterprise speeds through our own solar system, leaving the Earth far behind as it passes Jupiter and Saturn, heading into the unknown.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troy, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to a warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Enterprise speeds towards Graves' planet.
Captain, I'm picking up another signal, but it is not from the planet.
On screen, Mr. Wolf.
Signal is very weak, sir. Audio only.
Pipe it through.
Mayday. Requesting emergency. The outer hull is breached and environmental systems compromised. We need immediate assistance.
Captain, I show the Constantinople in that general vicinity. She's a transport ship used to ferry settlers. I'm showing 2012 colonists aboard.
Outer hull breach. She must have had an internal explosion.
If that's the case, they'll all be prone to severe hypoxia. Their lives are at risk. We've got to help them.
And what about Graves?
He's one man.
The captain and Riker consider this for a moment.
Suggestion, Captain. Why don't we execute a long-range transport of an away team to assist Dr. Graves at the earliest possible moment? We'll come out of warp just long enough to energize the beam.
A touch and go down warping. Ensign Crusher, prepare to make it so.
Aye, sir.
Engineering, Miss LaForge. We're going to execute a near-warp transport. This may be a little tricky. I would like you to handle it.
Yes, Captain. I'm on my way.
Assemble an away team, number one. Include whoever the doctor requires to assist her.
Excuse me, sir, but there may be hundreds on the Constantinople that require emergency attention. I should be there to supervise.
All right. Who'll replace you?
Lieutenant Solar. She has my complete confidence.
Worf, let's go.
The away team, consisting of Riker, Troy, Worf, Data, and Lieutenant Solar, assemble in the transporter room.
Phaser on stun, Mr. Worf. We don't know what's going on down there. There's no need to take any chances.
Agreed, sir.
Now remember, this is a near-warp transport, so the effects may be a little unusual.
What do you mean?
You'll see, Counselor.
The rumble of the engines subsides as Enterprise drops out of warp near Graves' planet.
Energize.
Wait a minute, I don't understand.
As the team transport, Enterprise leaps back to warp speed. They rematerialize in a large stone-walled hall.
You do now.
This might sound crazy, but for a moment, I thought I was stuck in that wall.
For a moment, you were.
Data to Enterprise.
I read you, Commander. Go ahead.
We are inside Graves' home.
All is quiet so far. Of course, no one knew we were coming.
Use caution, but protect Graves' health at all costs.
Understood, sir. I suggest we look around to see if anyone is home.
No need, Commander.
His pretty blonde assistant enters.
You heard me. Thank God. I'm Corinne Briannon, Dr. Graves' assistant.
We're from a ship called the Enterprise. We monitored your distress call, but then you never acknowledged our response.
I'm sorry. I couldn't take the chance.
Chance? What chance?
A chance that I might find out someone was coming? Corinne knew full well that I would not be pleased, to put it mildly.
I had no choice. I refuse to stand by and watch you deteriorate.
What symptoms have you noticed?
He has pain, shortness of breath, irritability.
Ridiculous! I'm as healthy as a Regalian ox.
He's not himself, believe me. His temper is completely out of control.
Nonsense!
Ira!
I am a doctor. Lieutenant Solar.
No offense, but I don't want you touching me in any way. It's no secret that I don't like people much, and I like doctors even less.
That's funny. I thought most doctors were people.
Then you were wrong. Ask any patient. Though, I will admit, for a doctor, you're not a bad-looking woman. Well, 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 what have we got here? Another lovely specimen of womanhood.
I thought you didn't like people.
Women aren't people. They're women.
He kisses Deanna's hand.
I'm Deanna Troy. It's an honor to meet you, Dr. Graves.
Yes, of course it is. This is one of the truly great moments of your life.
Excuse me, sir. Are you a Romulan?
Worf is stunned.
Hardly.
He's a Klingon, Corinne. Corinne has lived here since her father died when she was very young. Her only knowledge of unhuman races comes from me. Klingons and the Romulans don't look much alike, Corinne, even though they act much alike.
Stand here and be insulted.
Oh, no insult intended, Mr. Klingon. You see, Doctor, there's nothing wrong with my hearing.
Oh. He grimaces in pain.
My.
Lieutenant Commander Data.
Shh.
He studies Data.
Absolutely no aesthetic value whatsoever. Looks like Sung's work.
Quite correct, sir. Did you know Dr. Sung?
Know him? I told him everything he knows. You could say that I was the father of his work. Which kind of makes me your grandfather, doesn't it, Sonny? Damn doctors! Always sneaking up on one, attacking from the rear.
Graves catches a look in Salar's eyes.
Go on, gorgeous, spit it out. Whatever the hell it is, I can take it.
I've checked twice to make certain. You have Darnay's disease.
I'm sorry, Dr. Graves. It's in its final stage.
Can't you do something for him?
In all cases, Darnay's is terminal.
Graves gives Corrine a resigned smile. She tearfully shakes her head in disbelief.
Captain's log, stardate 42437.7. We've successfully repaired the stricken liner, Constantinople. 46 of her people suffered injuries, mostly minor. They have been treated and supplied with the proper medicines. Our task complete, we are heading back to Gravesworld with great dispatch.
On Gravesworld, ringed like Saturn, the doctor sits at his desk whilst Data examines some computer equipment.
I have noticed, Doctor.
Call me Grandpa. Seems more touching in my final hours.
I have noticed, Grandpa, that you keep repeating the same notes of a musical phrase I am unfamiliar with.
Oh, it's an ancient little tune called If I Only Had a Heart. A plaintive lament sung by a mechanical man who longs to be human. It's his only wish.
What happens to this man?
He finds out he's human after all. Always was. Just worried so much, he never realized it.
A happy ending. The mechanical man gets his wish.
Stories often have happy endings. It's life that throws you for a loop. It must be so hard for you to be so close to being human and yet never really knowing what it's like to know pain.
Pain is unpleasant, is it not?
Pain, lust, envy, pleasure, desire. Do you know what desire is, Data?
Desire? To long for, to crave, a wish, a request.
Do you know what desire is?
No. I do not suppose I will ever really know.
Oh, I feel pity for you. Your existence must be a kind of walking purgatory. Neither dead nor alive. Never really feeling anything. Just existing. Just existing. Oh, listen to me. A dying man takes the time to mourn a man who will never know death. Funny, isn't it?
Funny. I have had great difficulty determining what funny is.
I've had the same difficulty most of my life. We're much alike.
I'd say he has a week, but that's only an estimate. We do know that the disease attacks the brain and nervous system. We can expect more of the erratic behavior of the kind you've been noticing.
His feelings towards you are very warm. He's attracted to you in many ways.
Attracted? I know I've felt certain feelings from him and for him. Had I been older, perhaps we could have been... That's not the way it worked out. And now it's like he's afraid to face me. The only one he talks to is your friend Data.
You mentioned your impending death, Grandpa. May I say you face it with remarkable courage and stoicism?
Well, that is because I'm an incredible man, possessing an iron will and nerves of steel. Two traits that have helped me become the genius I am today, as well as the lady killer I was in days gone by.
You condone homicide, sir?
It's an expression, Data. It means I was once as beautiful as I am smart.
Really, Grandpa?
No, not really. But what the hell? I'm dying. I can remember my life any way I want. But I'll let you into a little secret, Sonny. I don't really believe I will be dying.
But the doctor...
Oh, I'll die. But I won't really be dead. You see, I believe I've learned to transfer the wealth of my knowledge into a computer. Before I die, I plan to transfer my great intellect into this machine, thus cheating the Grim Reaper of his greatest prize. But what would you know of death? It is a subject forever alien to you.
That is not necessarily true, Grandpa. I do have an off button, if you will. Its activation robs me of my consciousness, therefore rendering me dead for all intents and purposes. It is not something I enjoy contemplating.
Oh, I can understand that. Just where would Soong position such a device? Don't tell me. Let me guess.
The old man thinks for a moment, winces in pain, and then grins at Data. High above the planet, Enterprise enters orbit.
Captain to away team, we're standing by.
I do not wish to interrupt Data and the Doctor. They seem to have developed a genuine rapport. But the Enterprise has reached its orbit, and I'd like to transport Graves to the ship as soon as possible.
Data stands stiffly in the doorway.
That will not be necessary, Doctor. He is gone.
Gone?
It happened just a few moments ago, in my arms. Ira Graves is dead.
Kareen stifles a sob, and the others stare as the news sinks in.
Captain Log Supplemental, I leave Gravesworld with an empty feeling and the knowledge that our mission was unsuccessful. Whatever scientific secrets Ira Graves was about to unlock have been lost forever. Our immediate priority is to reach the nearest starbase so that Graves' assistant can get on with her life.
Kareen stands alone at a window.
Why didn't you contact Dr. Salar when you saw that he was beginning to go?
To do so would have been pointless. All things must pass. May I go now, sir?
Yes, of course.
We will try to honor him in the manner in which he specified, will we not, sir?
I said we would, Data.
I am glad, sir. It was his dying wish.
Data exits. Enterprise forges on towards her rendezvous with the starbase. Data enters 10 forward. Looking around, he sees Kareen sitting alone looking at the stars. He walks over towards her, smiling as he approaches.
Hello, Data. It's good to see you again. The stars are so beautiful from space.
You always did love the sky. A stargazer. That is what you are.
Did Ira tell you that? I guess he's right. I used to spend hours just lying on a hill, looking up.
Ira never told you how beautiful you were to him. He never told you that, did he? He could not tell you. Do you understand?
Yes. I understand.
But he wanted to. Every waking moment. And he wanted you to know that. You were everything to him.
Standing, Data reaches out his hand towards her as if to touch her hair, but stops at the last minute and pulls his hand back. He smiles awkwardly for a moment and then strides from 10 forward. Kareen frowns, disturbed by Data's words. Graves' body lies in a metal coffin in the transporter room.
He was a fine man, a man of rare gifts and great accomplishments. He will be sorely missed. Does anyone else have anything to say?
I believe I have a few words to say, sir.
Data steps up and looks into the glass top of the coffin.
Just look at that face. The face of a thinker. A warrior. A man for all seasons. Yes, Ira Graves was all that and more. But he was not perfect. Perhaps his greatest flaw was that he was too selfless. He cared too much for his fellow man.
with nary a thought for himself. A man of limitless accomplishments and unbridled modesty. I can safely say that to know him was to love him, and to love him was to know him. Those who knew him loved him, while those who did not know him loved him from afar.
Data.
I am almost finished, sir.
You are finished, Data.
Looking sheepish at the rebuke, Data steps down. At a nod from the captain, Geordi prepares the transporter, and Enterprise drops out of warp. Kareen and the captain step up to pay their last respects, and they leave the coffin ready to be transported into space.
We now commit the body of Ira Graves to the timeless depths of space.
Picard looks at Geordi, who operates the controls, and the coffin dematerializes. It rematerializes in empty space as Enterprise leaps back to warp speed. Picard puts a comforting arm around the tearful Kareen.
I am sorry, sir. Perhaps it was my admiration for Grandpa that got the best of me.
Grandpa?
That is the way I think of him, sir. My only living relative. No longer living.
Data.
I was only trying to carry out his wishes, sir. I just wanted to keep my promise to him.
I know that, Data. Look, I realize you've been studying the human equation with great alacrity, but perhaps you've been working at it too much. Don't try so hard to be human. Just be yourself. All right?
Yes, sir. I will work on staying within myself.
Grand. You're dismissed, Mr. Data.
Thank you, sir.
Picard smiles affectionately at him as Data exits. Out in the corridor, Data grins to himself and seems to ogle a passing female crew member. He heads towards the turbo lift.
Captain's personal log. Although Commander Data has assured me that his odd behavior will return to normal, I can't help thinking that something went wrong during his visit to Graves' world.
I'm still concerned, Captain. I've never seen him act like this.
Could it be that grandfather analogy that Graves planted in his head? Data is an orphan, in a manner of speaking. Is it possible that the loss of Graves might have affected him? Touched him on some emotional level we didn't know he possessed?
I hope you're right. I hope that's all it is.
As they walk on in thoughtful silence, Data and Wesley Crusher enter the bridge.
That was a great speech, Data. To know him is to love him is to know him.
Verbal composition at its most sophisticated level. Your childlike mind cannot appreciate the time-worn wisdom of my words.
Childlike mind?
When you get to be my age, you will understand.
Your age? Data, chronologically, you're not much older than I am.
Well, you are only as old as you feel. Try to remember that, boy.
Riker smiles.
You're not turning into a philosopher, are you, Mr. Data?
I am many things. Scholar, artist, philosopher, lover, genius.
Data, what's wrong with you?
Data grins as Deanna and Picard escort Kareen onto the bridge. Data's eyes immediately fix on the captain.
How beautiful.
I thought you might enjoy the bridge, Miss Brianna. I'm aware of your interest in science. Perhaps you'd like to see the computer terminal.
Yes, I'm aware of your interest in her.
What was that, Commander?
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Data turns back to his work.
These are the science stations.
From the command center here, we have control of all of the science stations.
Data, what are you doing?
To test hypocrisy. I wish they would just come out and admit it.
Admit what, Mr. Data?
That your interest in Corrine is not purely professional? Try as you will. You cannot win her heart. She does not care for older men. Or men of limited intellect.
Picard's look is thunderous.
Mr. Data, you will come with me right now. Do you understand me?
I understand. I understand all too well. Removing the competition will not help you, Picard.
Everyone stands rooted to the spot as Data exits the bridge.
Excuse me.
Picard strides out.
Do you know what that was all about?
Jealousy. Intense, burning jealousy. A human emotion, and it was coming from Data.
Riker and Corrine look amazed. Data is in the captain's ready room.
If you wish to apologize, I am prepared to listen.
Picard grabs his shoulder.
You expect me to apologize to you?
You were a bit rude to me. Might make you feel better if you said you were sorry.
Data, something has obviously gone wrong with your circuitry.
That is ridiculous. I am as healthy as a Regalian ox.
I wish I could believe that. I would accompany you to sickbay. But I doubt if that would do us any good.
Sickbay? Are you ill, Captain?
I'm getting there. I'm going to have engineering run a full physical on you.
I am sure that will not be necessary, Captain. I am fully capable of running a circuit check on myself. It will immediately determine any abnormalities.
Do it. That's an order.
Eyes closed, Data's head twitches.
Just as I expected. I am fine. Could not be better.
For the first time since I've known you, I don't believe you.
In engineering, Geordi scans Data with a glowing beam which envelops him.
Try and hold still, will you, Data?
Data looks bored and irritated by the whole process.
Data, will you wait for me in the corridor?
Why should I? This concerns me more than it does any of you.
You will wait for me in the corridor.
Sulkily, Data leaves the room.
His insubordination is growing by leaps and bounds. I could use discipline. I'd rather try and help him.
Well, I wish I knew what to suggest. I'd be damned if I can find a thing wrong with him.
Perhaps we're looking in the wrong place.
Meaning?
Well, if Data's physical health is unimpaired, perhaps his mental health needs to be addressed.
What, are you saying that Data's losing his mind?
With your permission, Captain, there is one way to find out.
Data has a metallic plaque on his forehead.
Now, Data, you remember the psychotronic stability examination. We all had to take it before graduating from the academy.
It was a waste of time then, and it's a waste of time now.
It will just gauge your psychological reactions to the images it projects.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the screen and let your mind go blank. The device will do the rest.
Pictures begin to flash up on the screen. The Earth, the Enterprise, Corrine, fire, landscapes, faster and faster. Dr. Graves, a little baby, people kissing. The images seem to be having an effect on Data, and Troy watches him with growing concern.
It's safe to say that you're his best friend. Is it possible to speculate about what's happening to him?
Well, sir, it's just a guess, but sometimes he wants to be human so badly he can taste it. I think he just tends to get confused when his human qualities surface.
Go on.
Witnessing Graves' death may have been some sort of catalyst for the way he...
I have the results of the tests. I ran them several times to be sure.
To be sure of what?
There are two disparate personalities within Lieutenant Commander Data. Each distinctly different, a dominant and a recessive.
But he's an android, is that possible?
It must be. The dominant personality is unstable, brilliant but vain, sensitive yet paranoid, and I believe it is prone to irrationality.
Of course.
Sir?
Nothing, go on.
It seems to have an especially strong hatred of you, Captain, or to a lesser degree, any authority figure. And the worst part is, it's growing.
How do you mean?
The alien persona is getting stronger and gobbling up what is left of the weaker ego, the Data we know. If something isn't done to stop it immediately, we will lose our Data forever.
Picard looks stunned by the news.
Captain's personal log. We have arrived at Starbase 6, where Miss Briannon will await transport back to Earth. I'm greatly troubled by the unusual behavior of Commander Data and fear that somehow it is directly related to the experiments of Ira Graves.
Where is Data now?
He should be in his quarters. You ordered him not to leave.
The captain turns to a computer terminal.
Tell me, where is Lieutenant Commander Data?
Current location, 10 forward.
Lieutenant Worf, will you go to 10 forward and keep an eye on Data? Don't interfere with his actions, unless you hear otherwise from me.
Worf here, sir. Acknowledged.
I want to know more about what happened down on Graves' world.
Lieutenant Solar, report to the captain's ready room.
In 10 forward, Corinne Briannon sits alone. Data is standing nearby, watching her.
Hello, Corinne. Don't you think it's time we stop pretending? You know who I am.
You're Data.
He sits down beside her.
You do know who I am.
She looks at him nervously.
Ira?
It is me. I am here. I am alive.
Oh!
Worf enters.
I deactivated Data and transferred my mind into his frame. I never imagined how much of myself I would retain. My feelings, my dreams.
They won't let you get away with it. They'll try to stop you.
How can they? It is my body now. It is out of their hands.
Doctor, tell me, how much time did Data and Graves spend together?
They were together practically the entire time we were on the planet.
Always alone?
Yes, always.
Doctor, what was your impression of Graves?
He seemed brilliant, egocentric, arrogant, chauvinistic.
Sound familiar?
Something wonderful has happened. I can take a deep breath now without feeling stabbing pain. I will never have to face death again. Think of the things I will accomplish over the next 1,000 years.
She looks unhappy.
What? Oh, I know what you were thinking. There is no need to worry. I will create an android body for you too. We can witness the end of time together.
Tears are now rolling down Corinne's cheeks. Data, holding her hand, looks puzzled.
Why are you crying, Corinne? I can love you now. The way I always wanted to. It was not right before. I was too old for you. Too weak. Now I can be everything you want me to be.
I won't let you put me in a machine. I want to live my life. I won't let you take it away from me. Ira, you're hurting me.
Data abruptly drops her hand, which he has been clasping tightly, and looks embarrassed seeing the pain on her face. He stands and strides out of 10 forward. Worf immediately crosses to her.
Worf to Captain Picard. Commander Data has left 10 forward. Should I follow?
Negative. I'll handle this myself. He was an expert in cybernetics.
Yes.
Our memorial service may have been premature. What an achievement. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this. And this gives life to thee.
He was working on bridging the gap between man and machine.
Seems he built that bridge. I may be forced to tear it down.
On the upper level of engineering overlooking the throbbing warp core, Data stands slumped dejectedly over the handrail.
I can hear you coming, Captain. My ears are better than the average dog's, you know.
I know who you are and what you've done.
Of course you do.
I came here to talk to Data.
I cannot allow that.
I understand your desperation, the shock of learning you were dying, but you have no right to do what you've done.
I have every right, Captain. I am man, he is machine. There is no question who must live and what must die.
What of Data?
Data? Before me, he was nothing. Just a walking tin can with circuits for intestines. Pathetic. Without heart, a man is meaningless.
Picard looks toward the small elevator giving access to the upper levels.
I would not come up here if I were you, Captain. I might not like it.
The captain stands on the small elevator and begins to ascend. On the upper level, he sees Geordi lying unconscious on the floor.
You are most fortunate, my dear Captain, that I am not a violent man.
Picard strides over to Geordi's prone body and checks his pulse. He looks around at Data standing nearby.
Not a violent man?
This is not my fault. They told me I was not supposed to be up here. They should not have done that.
Graves, listen to me. No one can deny the significance of your transformation. But I don't believe that this was part of your plan. Encountering Data was a mere coincidence, one that offered you more than you could have dreamed. But something has gone wrong. Look here. Graves, this experiment must be terminated.
This is idiotic.
Got a sick bay.
Yes, Captain.
How is Miss Briannon?
Her left hand is fractured in two places. We've just begun treatment.
I'm afraid there are two more injuries in engineering.
I'm on my way.
Who's next?
These were all accidents. I did not intend...
How many more accidents? You must leave this body.
No. I live here now.
Graves, every man has his time, every man, without exception. But you've cheated. You have extended your life at the expense of another. Graves, give Data back. Give him back.
Data is dead.
No, he must not be lost. He's not simply an android. He's a life form, entirely unique.
Data is not human. He is
different, yes. But that does not make him expendable or any less significant. No being is so important that he can usurp the rights of another. Now set him free.
No!
Picard is sent flying several feet by the force of the blow and slumps to the ground unconscious. Data looks shocked and looks uncomprehendingly at his hand.
Accidents.
Shortly, Dr. Pulaski arrives in engineering and is helping a groggy Captain Picard back to his feet.
Data, where is he?
Just take it easy, Captain.
I can't afford to. Take it easy, Doctor.
Captain crosses painfully to a computer terminal.
Tell me, where is Lieutenant Commander Data?
In a room nearby, Data is lying motionless on the floor. Geordi, the Captain, Kareen, and the Doctor enter.
Data. Data. Data, can you hear me?
Data's eyes pop open, and he looks up jerkily at Geordi.
Geordi.
Yeah?
May I ask a question?
I think you just did.
Quite correct. Then may I ask another question after this one?
You can ask me anything you want.
Why am I lying on the floor in this undignified position, with the four of you standing over me, displaying expressions of
concern? I've heard more than enough. You're you again.
Captain. Captain, look at this.
Kareen points to a computer bank with readouts scrolling across the screen.
He's in there. Ira put himself in the computer.
She looks at Picard in relief and amazement. Data stands looking bemused as Graves' knowledge continues to scroll across the computer screen.
Captain's log supplemental. We've said goodbye to Kareen Briannon with the hopeful feeling that her future will be a bright one. The intellect of Ira Graves has been deposited into our computer. There is knowledge, but no consciousness. The human equation has been lost.
And you don't remember anything?
Not a thing.
To know him is to love him is to know him.
Perhaps it is best that I do not remember. I trust I did nothing unbecoming to a Starfleet officer.
Does wrestling with a Klingon Targ ring a bell?
Mr. Crusher, take us out of orbit.
Aye, sir.
Did I win?
As Data sits thoroughly confused by events, Enterprise breaks orbit and heads for the stars. The end.